Well, it's good to be together. It's good to praise the Lord because He is worthy, isn't He? He is so worthy of our praise. And so we want to honor Him today through Scripture. And as we learn about Scripture, hopefully you understand when you read and it's there for us. It's there for us to grab a hold of. It's there for us to just to learn from. And so as I was preparing this week and what the Lord wanted us to hear and what I should share today, I was reading this Scripture and it was just like, God, this is way too simple to be a sermon. And this is just way too simple to make a sermon out of. And God's like, well, duh, it's for us because we're simple. It's for me. This is for me today because it's simple. And so this is a pretty simple sermon. This is a pretty simple passage of Scripture, and I'm so thankful because there's times that I've talked with people, brand new Christians and people that say, I just don't understand the Bible. I don't get it. I don't understand why. What does the Bible read, and how do I read it? And then first of all, I kind of say, well, make sure that you're reading a good translation of the Word. A lot of times people are like, well, I read in King James, and you know what? King James is so hard to read unless you grew up that way, unless you grew up with the King James and you get it and you understand it. Maybe you've memorized Scripture in the King James Version, and that's okay, but for us as we talk, we don't speak in the these and the thous and the therefore, and it's like, whoa, it goes over my head sometimes. So I'm always trying to instruct people, try to get away from that kind of that King James English. There's nothing wrong with it if that's the Scripture that you like to read, but they're all translations. They're all making sure that they're going back to the original Greek. A lot of people think King James English was the original Greek that Jesus wrote. No, Jesus didn't write the Bible. You see, it's not that. It's about understanding and how God wants us to understand Scripture. He wants us to understand it. And so I'm so thankful that you don't have to go through a priest. You don't have to go through somebody to interpret Scripture for you. I'm not the one that's interpreting Scripture for you. You can read it for yourself. You can understand for yourself. You can grow with God through the reading of His Word. And I want to encourage you with that this morning. And so as I was thinking about this, I'm like, Lord, this is pretty simple. It's a pretty simple passage of Scripture. And you'll see why, because I love lists. I told you that many times before. I love lists. It's like, Rachel, just give me a list. And so she'll rattle a list off for me to go to the grocery store. I'm like, no. Text me a list, right? I won't remember a thing you said, but I need to read it. I need to see that list so that when I'm actually there, I can be in front of the grocery store and in the grocery store aisles, and their list is before me. And so this passage of Scripture, Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, is a fantastic list for us and some attributes that we want to live by and who we want to be. Are you ready for this? This is super simple stuff. This is super simple, but it's something for us to understand this morning. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. So, what a great passage of Scripture that just gives us a list on who we want to be, how we want to act. And so Paul, the writer of this passage of Scripture to the Colossian church, is simply identifying some issues, identifying some problems in their lives, in their church, probably understanding that maybe there's some bickering going on. Maybe there's some issues, maybe there's some problems in the church that people aren't getting along. You ever heard of that before? Maybe. Maybe in this church, maybe there's somebody in this church that you're like, boy, I just don't really get along with that person. Or maybe there's been a little tiff that you've had, and there's certain circumstances that have made it just less than fun to be around each other. We understand that we're human, that happens. It happens in churches, it happens out in the world. And in fact, I think it's happening more and more and more frequently as you look at the world that we live in. I mean, the world we live in, I just feel like it's becoming more and more aggressive. People are just mean. I mean, those of you who work in the public, out in the public arena, if you will, you just realize that there's people who are just mean. There's just some rude people. I can't believe it. They're just angry. And as Christians, we're supposed to hit the reset button. We're supposed to hit the reset button and say, listen, I'm going to do and be and act something different than everybody else around me. And this is what this sermon is all about today. It's talking about who do I want to be according to Scripture versus who somebody else is making me be. And so we don't want to reply or respond to others the way they're responding. We want to respond as Christ would respond, as Scripture instructs us to do. So what kind of person do you want to be? What kind of person do you want to be? There's seven attributes out of this passage of Scripture we're going to exegete this morning. And we just want to, we really want to take a look and dive deep in what Paul is saying to us as the church. Now, here's a disclaimer this morning. If you are not a Christian, if you don't have Jesus in your life, if you've never accepted Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, this passage of Scripture does not apply to you. So if I just wanted to make sure that you're aware that I'm not judging you, we're not putting pressure on you as a non-Christian, this simply doesn't apply to you. So when you're a non-Christian, you're allowed to live however you want to live, really. And yes, that's the pastor saying that. When you don't live for Christ, you don't have to live for Christ, you don't have to obey Jesus, you don't have to obey the Bible. That's the fun part of not being a Christian. What? No, but the beauty of being a Christian is that we get to love Jesus. We get to live according to the word. We get to be better people. We understand the hope, the salvation, the eternity, and the beautiful forgiveness of sin that we all experience through Christ. So let me start this list really quick. Number one, Paul talks about this mercy and compassion. To be merciful and compassionate toward others. You see, the opposite of this would be someone who is cold and heartless, right? Someone who is concerned only with himself or herself. But we got to be merciful. We got to be compassionate. A compassionate person is someone who not only balances checkbook, but wants to help other people around him. Right? Not only looks into his own personal needs, but it says, I'm going to be merciful and compassionate to somebody who is in need. Now, some of you are compassionate people. I mean, it just exudes from you. Knowing most of you, it's like, man, that person has just got compassion just oozing out of them. And I think that's such a beautiful thing. To others, I mean, like for example, myself, my spiritual gift isn't mercy. I'm really low on that mercy. So compassionate people are like mothers, nurses, people who are like teachers. Compassionate people are people who just really love people, and I want to have compassion on you when they see somebody in need. And so I'm not preaching at you today. I am preaching with you because I need this as well. And so I need to work on my compassion. I need to work on my mercy when it comes to working with other people. So thinking about when you're talking to others around you, don't talk just about yourself. How about that? Don't talk about yourself. If you're compassionate and you're merciful, you're going to just ask what the person you're talking to, how are you doing? How's your job? How are things going in your life? Tell me how I can help you. That's being a merciful, compassionate person. And so if you're in here today and you're like, ooh, I don't even know the person in my small group because I'm always the one talking. I don't even know the people around me. I don't even know their kids' names because I'm always the one talking. See what I'm saying? So the word is saying, God is trying to help us to be merciful and compassionate people to say, tell me, how can I care for you? What are you struggling with? What are you going through? This is a beautiful thing. Number two, kindness. They kind of go hand in hand. You got to have kindness in your life. Kindness includes not only saying nice things, but doing nice things, right? Kindness is going above and beyond the call of duty to help somebody out. And so as the scripture we read this morning just says, clothe yourselves in kindness. What a great way of looking at it. Clothe yourselves in kindness, like it's always there. It's always going to be on you. It's always going to be with you. You wear clothing, it's always there. You take it with you. And kindness is such a huge thing. Now, the world as we know it is, they're looking toward kindness. You know, there's people, there's Hollywood movie stars that are like, yeah, be kind. The whole kindness movement, you know, it's a biblical concept, of course, but we understand what kindness means. kindness is that when somebody gets in your face and does something that you don't like, and it's the kindness backs off and says, you know what, I don't need to be right now. Kindness says, I don't need to make an argument right now over something. When somebody does something against you and is coming at you for some way, you just, kindness says, I'm going to be kind right now because I don't need to have this conflict. So put in, clothe yourself with kindness. Number three, humility. This means that you recognize your own weaknesses. Don't think about how great you are. Don't think about how amazing you are and all the accomplishments that you've accomplished. We take a look at Scripture. There's many, many examples of humility. Moses was one of those. You know, I'm sure he recognized his weaknesses very, very quickly, but he tried to lead millions of people through the desert. Clothe yourself in humility. And this is a tough one for some of us. You know, pride is one of those things that it just creeps in, it sneaks in all the time to think, well, there's that battle that goes on between, you know, humility and pride. There's just that constant battle. Clothe yourself in humility and you'll do fine. Number four, gentleness. There's another one of those things, gentleness. This is like gentleness is the opposite of the man who is ranting and raving at the customer service counter at the store, right? You've been at the store before and there's people who are just like, you got to be kidding me. You're not going to take this back. This is horrible. That's not gentle. Being gentle with others around you, with people that you interact with. You know, I've seen Christians that are just like, you wouldn't know they're Christians when it comes to interacting with other people in the world. Because I don't believe that they are putting on gentleness, clothing themselves in gentleness. And so we think of those attributes being countercultural, right? Being a gentle person. Patience kind of goes along with it. Being patient. The Greek word here, it contains the idea of being patient in unpleasant circumstances. You know, the unpleasant circumstances, when there's something that's not going right, patience just comes in and says, all right, I'm going to calm down a little bit and be patient. You know, we've all been there, right? We've all been there when something's not going our way. When, you know, you go to the auto body shop or the auto mechanic shop and they're just like, yep, you owe me $5,000. What? You got to be kidding me. You know, you just want to just ream them out over the phone and say, you guys are a bunch of crooks. You're a bunch of the... Patience. Instead of being mean and aggressive, you know, we want to clothe ourselves with these attributes. And patience and gentleness is one of those. Here's one. Number six. This is one that we may spend a little bit more time on this morning. But Paul talks about forgiveness. Forgiveness. Verse 13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have with each other. You see, the way I read it first of it, the New Living Translation says, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. I kind of like that way of looking at it. Make allowance for faults. And that word allowance, I was picturing it. You guys know what allowance is when you're kids? You know, your mom, dad give you a certain amount of money or whatever for jobs maybe you've taken place or that you've done over in the house. I take a look at that word allowance, and I think of, as an adult, what does that mean for us? It means budget. You guys like to budget? Some people love to budget. There's those people that are the money people, and then there's your spouse, right? Some people love to budget and like the numbers and keep a tight budget, and then there's your spouse that just, come on, let's just spend this. Let's just do this. Come on, let's just do this. Let's just have fun. The budget meeting is just a nightmare sometimes at the ghoulish household. No, we do well. We do well as far as communicating that and the budget. It used to be rough when we were early on in marriage. We're like, well, I think I should spend this. And so let's write a budget. Let's keep to the budget. And let's let the budget be the bad guy. That's always something that we've told each other. I tell young married couples that all the time. Let the budget be the bad guy, not each other. Well, I'm sorry that we are arguing about this expenditure right now, but the budget is the one who's at fault here. And so I love this passage of Scripture. In verse 13, it says, make allowance. And if I could add and just kind of make that word different, make a budget for each other's faults. Now, what do I mean by that? So this is what I mean. The budget is something that you pre-plan. This is something that you work on for the future, correct? A budget is something you work on right now for future spending. And so when I read this passage of scripture, I'm going to budget my anger towards somebody else. I'm going to pre-plan right now to not be angry with someone who makes me mad at them. I'm going to budget in kindness. I'm going to pre-plan. I'm going to make allowance for each other's faults. And so if we did that with each other, if you did that for me as your pastor, please, you guys need a big budget for me. you need a big allowance for my faults and my weaknesses. Because I'm a lousy pastor. I've got things that I don't do well. I know that. So please, you know, write it in your budget. Make allowance for his faults. And that's what we have to do for each other. If you get offended easily about stupid things, well, you need to go back to have a budget meeting with yourself and make allowance for the stupid things that people do. Because it's going to happen. I'm going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. And so I love how this says, make an allowance for each other's faults. And what? Forgive one another. And so this is one of those things where if you have a grievance with someone, you know, if someone tells you that they're going to pick you up at 2 o'clock and you're running late and maybe even forgot about the 2 o'clock appointment, we're going to have a grievance. We're going to have a disagreement. I'm going to be upset. We're going to get bummed out with each other. You know, if somebody helps you, you know, or somebody's promising, your kids are promising, yep, I'm sure I'm going to clean my bedroom. Of course, I promise I will. And then they don't. Yeah, there's going to be a grievance. There's going to be issue. I'm sure we all can come up with legitimate forms of grievances once against one another. There may be something really, really bad that somebody's offended you. There may be something that somebody did against you, and you're just holding on to that grievance. You're holding on like it's yours, like it's your right to hold on to that. Guess what? You don't have a right to do that. You don't have a right to do that as a Christian. Because like I said, as Christians, we're supposed to forgive. We're supposed to say, I forgive you. Even though they haven't asked for forgiveness. That's what's weird about being a Christian. It's a beautiful thing. It's different. It's countercultural. The culture says, just hold on to grievances. Hold on to anger. Hold on to, and make sure you mark down every person in your life that's offended you one time. And never talk to that person again. You know what? That only hurts you. That only hurts you. You see, forgiveness is something so, so beautiful. I want to be a forgiver. I do. I made it a habit in my life to be a forgiver. I mean, why? Not because I'm pious, not because I'm amazing, not because no, it's because the Bible tells me to. It's because God wants me to be a forgiver. You know, when I read scriptures that they're talking about how Christ forgave me, so you shall also forgive others, or that kind of negates Christ's forgiveness for you, I'm like, whoa, we better be forgiving each other. And so if you're here today, and if you've got a grievance against somebody, go talk to that person or just, you know, let it go. Maybe even talking to that person is going to just rekindle something that's really not necessary. Let it go. Let it go. Somebody sing that song from Frozen. Every day, right? Let it go. Let it go. You have to forgive. You've got to forgive. And I tell people this all the time. Sometimes you don't have to like people, but you got to love them. I mean, when you forgive somebody, it's not like you're, hey, let's go hang out now. No, I mean, yeah, you got to honestly forgive them, but you still have to love them and want the best for them. That is a hard, hard thing to do, Christian. Very hard to do. But for some reason, we feel the pride in our lives that says, I must hold a grudge because you think you're so awesome. No. Forgive. Humble yourself. Be gentle. Be patient. Budget in kindness in your life. And I love verse 14. It says, and over all of these things, put on love, put on love, and it's like the glue that holds them all together. It's the glue that holds them all together. And so, I'll read, I paraphrase. Let me read it. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. End quote. So love is the glue. Love is the glue. Why would I be compassionate with somebody? Because I love them. Why would I want to be kind to you? Because I love you. Why should I be humble and not prideful? Because I love you. I'm going to be gentle in my relationships with you and other people because I love you. And you see, this isn't the love that is one of those loves that is earned. You know, like this isn't phileo love where it's brotherly love, where it's like, hey, you're my buddy. You are cool with me. I'll be cool to you, right? That's brotherly love. That's phileo love. In this passage, it's talking about the agape love, which is the love that God has given in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved, or agape. This is the same root word, is we have to bind each other, bind it all together with this agape, because we truly would die for someone. I would die for you because I love you. I would do anything for you because I love you. That's what this word is talking about. That's this one-way love. It's not brotherly love where it's two ways. It's one way. I'm going to choose to love you. I'm going to choose to be kind to you. I'm going to choose to be humble. I'm going to choose to be patient. You get the point? It's the glue that holds it all together. And I would say that this is the hardest thing. And I wish Paul would have started with love. It would have made sense to my list, right? Like started with love. Like if my wife sends me to go get pizza ingredients at the grocery store, she doesn't just start with, hey, guess what? We're going to get you pepperoni. We're going to get you this. No. What are we doing tonight? Oh, we're making pizza. Got it. Now I know what we're doing. I wish Paul would have wrote it first. First of all, love each other. Because then all this stuff would help. This is all how to do it. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. So as the band comes forward, we're gonna close out our time together. And I want to encourage you this morning. How can you put on gentleness? How can you throw out bad attitudes? You ask the question, it's easier said than done to not hold grudges against people, right? It's hard. It's almost, you think of this list, this grocery list that Paul describes in Colossians here. It's very hard, but I want to give you the reason why and the answer why. The reason why it can be easier is that we need to stay close to Jesus Christ, stay close to his teachings, understand what he's talking about. And when we do that, it becomes a lot easier to be more like him. You see, being forgiven, if you realize what forgiveness truly is in Jesus Christ, it's going to be easier to forgive others. Because you're going to realize what a snake in the grass you are. You're going to realize what a horrible person, what a horrible sinner you are. But when you realize the love and the forgiveness of Christ, you think, wow, that motivates me to pass it on, to forgive others. And so as we think about this list, I want to encourage you this morning. How you doing? How are you doing in this list? Let me read it again. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, Christian, you must clothe yourselves with a tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. So there it is. It's a simple passage of scripture. No frills. It's just easy and simple to understand. The hard part is that applying it to our lives and living it out on a daily basis. So let's stand together. I need help. I'm standing with you. I need help with this list. I do. I need help with this list. I'm human. I make mistakes. I have faults. I have weaknesses. And so as we stand together, I want us just to let our stature represent our need for Christ today and our need for help. And so I'm standing with you, and I'm simply saying, God, I need to do a lot better with this list. God, help me in this. And so would you join me today? Would you join me in prayer? Just right before you and God, just say, God, maybe there's something that you're dealing with that out of that grocery list that you're absolutely missing out on. Say, God, help me to do this. Help me to do this. Let's put that list again up there just for a visual reference. And if you don't have to close your eyes in prayer, there's nothing that says that in the Bible. And so if you want to look at that list again and say, I need help with this. I need help with this. And so just pray that out, all right? You don't have to pray it out loud if you don't want to. But just say, God, I need help with number 6. I need help with number 3. And just spend some time in prayer. And then we'll have our band close us out today.